All right, well, let's get into the word. But before we do, why doesn't everyone stand up? Oh, I don't want to. Actually, everyone sit down. Let's do this again. Everyone sit down. Now, I'm going to. I don't want to hear any in the house. I want to hear in the house this morning. All right, if you're visiting, you'll get. That's it. All right, so let's everyone stand. Come on. And as we do, I'll invite Dave Bonanno to come up here now, because you can watch him bust out a few moves. And are we ready? Let's go, David. Come on up while I go down.
I never could dance, and I don't like dancing. And but I was dancing on the inside. Let's pray. Lord, we sense your presence this morning here. We just need more of you. We just need more of you. Help us to get past our agendas. Get past the thoughts that we have and start pulling in some of the thoughts that you have. Father, I know that as I speak this morning, every single person here will hear this message differently, uniquely, because you're at work in each one of us uniquely. And whilst we're here as a congregation, we're also here as individuals, making up that congregation. So, Father, I pray whatever it is that you want to speak to every individual in this place, that they would hear it clearly. And I pray it in Jesus' mighty name. I've been given the task to speak about kindness this morning, an element of the fruit of the Spirit. And I've worked hard to try and think through how I should present that. And as I've been doing this, I've been reading a bunch of stuff. I'm always reading something. And this book came across my path, which I'm only just into the first part of it here. But it's called The Book That Made Your World: How the Bible Created the Soul of Western Civilization. I've got to tell you, it's a pretty good book so far. But the essence of the message in this book is this: we are the product of something far more than we understand as a society. Not just as a church, as a society. I listened to a guy who happens to be a Jewish scholar, and he uses this term, the cut flower syndrome. You can take a flower from the garden, get out your secateurs and cut that out, or a bunch of them if you like, and stick them in a vase and put them in the kitchen, and you got probably 5 or 6 days where those flowers are going to look really beautiful, going to brighten up the room. But at the end of that time, you notice they start to wilt and die and look pretty awful. Why? Because they've been cut off from their sustenance. They've been cut off from the very thing that gives them life, which is the roots and the soil and the water that nourishes them and keeps them growing. And our society has become like that. We are resting on the work of the generations before us. And we're still blooming, or appearing to be blooming. But I believe we've been cut off. And the world out there is telling us, you don't need God. You don't need anything to do with God. You don't need any kind of sustenance other than what you can just drag out of yourself. It's a lie. I figured out the devil's name the other day. His surname is Fischl. His first name is Artie. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He will take what God has made for good and try to destroy it. But thankfully, we have a God who takes what he has done as evil and turns it for good. Am I right? So Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." That's a wonderful truth. It's a wonderful truth. Against such things there is no law. And it's good because in an agrarian or rural society, fruit's a good thing. It's a result of hard work and careful tending. As we allow the fruit of the Spirit to take control in us, our character changes. Fruit of the Spirit is one fruit with many facets. Just go back to that slide, if you would, please, Simon. You see that green thing on the right there? That's what's called a Monstera Deliciosa. You've probably got them in your backyard. They're all over the place. That is actually a fruit that comes off the Monstera. A lot of people don't know about this fruit, but it's a magnificent fruit. When I was a kid in Queensland years ago, we had all kinds of beautiful tropical fruits. And Dad came home with this one day. Please excuse me. Apologize if your eardrums are bleeding now. Dad came home and he said, "Check this out." Now what that does, it only comes up one stalk in the middle of the plant. And it ripens from one end, about a day at a time, about an inch at a time. And you can flick off those little pieces that you see there, and they're fairly thick. And you flick those off and you get about an inch and a half or so of fruit underneath it that looks like that, but white. The flesh is white. And this particular fruit is actually known as the fruit salad plant. Believe it or not. Because every one of those little things underneath, there's a little piece of flesh underneath it, tastes different. And until you taste it, you'll just have to take my word for it. But it is magnificent. You can get banana, strawberry, guava, pineapple, watermelon. Really. And the reason they're not sold in shops is because they're so hard to grow. You get one on each plant. You know what a Monstera looks like, right? Dirty, great thing. Leaves all over the place. Sometimes called a Swiss cheese plant because of the way the leaves are all got holes in them. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is like. It's one fruit, but so many flavors. One fruit, but so many parts. And every time you taste it, it tastes different. Now you can flick those things off and just eat them one bit at a time, which my dad used to make us do. Frustratingly, or you can just bite that whole inch wide ripened piece all the way around and your mouth just gets filled with fruit salad. It's unbelievable. But this is the best example I can give to what the fruit of the Spirit is like. It's sweet. It's always slightly different. And it brings to us something more each time. We taste it. And the fruit of the Spirit in us is like that. So I'm talking about this because I want to talk about kindness. And what I've come to realize is that kindness, like all the other fruit in the fruit of the Spirit, like all the other lists there, kind of blends. There's no edge. You can't have kindness without love. You can't have kindness without patience. You can't have each of these things without the others. Without the others, they are not themselves. They're like a rainbow color. They blend into each other. And the fruit of the Spirit, when it's expressed in us, is a blend of a lot of things. Kindness is that one focal point we're going to talk about today, but it's a blend of all these other things. Kindness is an indicator of our heart condition. Matthew 12:33 says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Then he went on in that same passage and he started calling the Pharisees a bunch of vipers, and he was really having a go at these guys. I noticed God, by the way, always got stuck into the religious leaders. I'm convinced that Jesus wasn't really happy with religion per se and was more focused on faith, more focused on obedience. What did he say? I desire obedience rather than sacrifice. Yep. He goes on, Matthew 12:35 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. And then Jesus refers to himself as the source of a fruit-bearing branch. Kindness is an indicator of who is leading us. John 15:5, and this is from a huge passage that I was going to read the whole thing out, but this is the essence of it. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a stunning bit of scripture. Let me read it again. Jesus is saying, I am the vine. We are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The world wants to get the secateurs out and cut us apart from God. And it's done a pretty good job. If you get my drift, using the word good, pretty awful job. But it's been successful at what it's been trying to do. And artificial is out there behind the whole thing, driving this, making reality seem not real. And it's crept itself into us. It's crept, it just leaks into us. That's what happens in the world. Things, we imbibing this stuff all day long in our TV shows, in our movies, in our newspaper columns. We see it on billboards. We're surrounded by it. The lie. And there's lots of the lie around us. And most of us, sadly, perhaps all of us, don't spend enough time in God's Word counteracting that deceit. Learning and imbibing what God has for us. Being attached to the vine. Letting His goodness flow through us. Anybody seen the movie Princess Bride? Who liked it? Can you watch it a second time? That's right. There's one scene in that movie where the hero gets killed. And his friends take him along to a guy called Miracle Max, who's this witch doctor kind of guy, I don't know, some kind of crazy guy. And this is what Miracle Max says. He says, he's not dead. He's just mostly dead. The guy's laid out. He's not dead. He's just mostly dead. And that condition epitomized me as a Christian some years ago. I was alive, but only just, because I wasn't walking in the Spirit. I was born again. I was saved. So therefore, I had the life of God in me, but I wasn't walking in the Spirit. You might say I was mostly dead, a little bit alive. I was a lot more alive than I had been, but I was still not alive, alive. And yet, in John 10:10, this is my, I can witness with this scripture, because this is the gospel right here in a nutshell. John 10:10, for the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that they might have life and have it to the full. The thief, rob, steal, destroy. Sorry, steal, kill, destroy. But Jesus has come that we might have life and have it not mostly dead, all alive. That's what he wants for us. All alive. How do we get there? How do we do that? Walk in the Spirit. Staying in the Spirit. This is an abundant life, eternal life, a forever life, everlasting life. And you know, when we talk about eternal life, people always think about the sweet by and by. Eternal life starts now. You got born again today, eternal life. I'll talk a little bit about that later. I want to talk a little bit about cultural kindness versus biblical kindness, because I hope I've set up the platform here enough for you to understand there's the way the world thinks of a thing, like the liar has told them, and the way the Bible teaches a thing, the way God has told us. And kindness is no different. A couple of years ago, there was a very big breakout news story about a lady on TV. You'll know her name, Ellen DeGeneres. She fell from a 2-decade-long reign as the Queen of Kindness, apparently for being very unkind. She made millions of dollars selling the idea that she was kind. And then it came out what was happening behind the scenes on her television program, and she was cancelled. That behind the scenes was apparently reported as toxic, racist, abusive, and horrible. And she used to finish every show with this line: be kind to each other. That's not the kindness. And millions were watching this all over the world, including in this country. Be kind to each other. She had no idea what kindness looked like, because she was looking at it from the liar's point of view. And it came out. Her show was cancelled because she was actually not kind. So the kindness we want to talk about is the kindness that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. Not the kindness that the world foists on us and says, just be kind. I'm going to say something really controversial. You cannot operate in the fruit of the Spirit unless you are filled with the Spirit. Did you hear that? You cannot operate in the fruit of the Spirit unless you're filled with the Spirit. So unless you're filled with the Spirit, I'm sorry, whatever it is you're selling is artificial, is not the real deal. Whatever it is that you're saying you've got, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's not real. It's an artificial construct. I'm going to say kindness without love is not kindness at all. That was Ellen DeGeneres. She made a show of things, but she didn't actually live it out because she didn't have it. You can't give out what you don't have. All of the fruit of the Spirit is a result of the indwelling of the Spirit. You cannot love properly without the Holy Spirit. You can do a form of it, but not the real deal. You cannot have patience without the Holy Spirit. You can do a form of it, but not the real deal. Now, this separates the Bible and Christians from what the world teaches. It shouldn't surprise us that there is a separation in this thinking. Now, Jesus, when he said, when he left this planet, and he said to his apostles, I'm going to leave you with another, I'm going to send you another comforter. What he was actually saying is, there's another one just like me. He was referring to the Holy Spirit. Another comforter, just like me. Meaning, Holy Spirit. We know the Trinity. If you receive the Holy Spirit, you've received Jesus, right? You're in there with the Father. They can't be separated. So the next thing is, I want to talk about God's perspective. We need to see life from God's perspective. Matthew 12:33 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. So the model is Christ. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. That makes me think a lot about my actions and reactions. Makes me think a lot about my shortfalls, my shortcomings, my failures. But it reminds me also that I've got a model to look at. And he has not just left me as a model to say, look at this, this is Jesus. And if I just try, no, no, he said, I will send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in here. So he has actually empowered me to do exactly what he wants me to do, if I will allow him to, if I will give him space. That's great, isn't it? Good news? Am I preaching good news? I hope so. Now get this one. This one, this is a classic. Romans 2 and 4. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? God's kindness. The sort of kindness that the Holy Spirit puts in us, that's God's kindness, right? That's God's kindness in us leads us to repentance. So when we're talking about this, about kindness, we're talking about something that has an incredible benefit to us when we use it, make use of it, walk in it. This is incredible stuff. Sometimes I think we see God's... I was asking the Lord for an analogy. And he said, you need to see things as I see them. And I said, yeah, that's great, Lord, but how? How do I explain that? And he said, when I see a circle from the air, like this table is a perfect circle. But if I come back here, it becomes an ellipse, an oval shape. And the further back I go, the narrower the perception is of that circle. I have to see it from God's point of view, from right up here. It's a perfect circle. And that's how we sometimes fail to see what God's doing, because we're not getting God's perspective on it. And the only way we can get God's perspective on it, the only avenue we can really trust, is what his word says. We have to be imbibing that word, feeding off that word, learning from that word, so that our view becomes more and more and more as he sees it, not as we see it. I hear a lot of people talking about their feelings today. And God's interested in our feelings. But the word says to be transformed by the renewing of your... Very clear, isn't it? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Feelings come into it. Feelings help us to understand others' needs and to find empathy and to find that closeness, that connectedness Pastor Kerry was talking about. But our mind needs to be renewed, transformed. Kindness also bears fruit of its own in our own lives. In Proverbs 21, this is a brilliant, brilliant scripture. Proverbs 21:21. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. Read that again. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. Anybody want those? Kindness is an act of humility and obedience to God. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And the fruit of the Spirit, what does it finish off with? It says, against such things there is no law. When we do to others as we'd have them do unto us, it sums up the law and the prophets. Years ago, I used to do music, and after I became a Christian, instead of doing worldly music, I did Christian music, and a bunch of us we formed a few bands and did the church thing and did the rallies and all of that. And one of the songs we played back in those days, when I say back in those days, you can see by the color of my hair, it was back in those days when guitars were made out of rocks and things, you know. Anyway, there was a song, and it was called Believing for the Best in You. Believing for the Best in You. And I can't help but think, but that phrase sums up kindness. When I see my brother, and I see my sister, when I see the fallen, I see the lost, I see the broken, I see the sinful, but I'm willing to believe for the best in them, I can show kindness, godly kind of kindness, Holy Spirit kindness, fruit of the Spirit level kindness. See, God made us in his image. And I'm going to finish very quickly. Us and every other human has been made in the image of God. We are therefore what is known as image bearers. Every one of us in this room and everybody outside this room is an image bearer of God. Even in the depth of sin, of sinfulness, brokenness, and rebellion, we still carry the image of God. When we show kindness to others, it's not about whether they deserve kindness in that moment or whether they do not. They're the image bearer of God. They might be marred, they might be broken, they might be covered in dirt. They're image bearers of God. Another reason that I don't believe in abortion. That is a unique individual in that woman with a unique DNA, and is an image bearer of God. Brand new one. And And I think the greatest acts of kindness are when the recipient of our kindness least deserves the act of kindness. The greatest act of kindness is when the person on the receiving end of that kindness least deserves it. Jesus is the only religious icon or head of the particular religion who actually prayed for the people who were killing him and believed for the best in them. The greatest act of kindness I can think of. That kind of kindness, I want that. C.S. Lewis wrote this in his book, The Weight of Glory. Now, if this doesn't make you think more deeply about others, I don't know what will. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Let me repeat those lines. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, those are mortal. They will pass away. And those, compared to our life, they're like a gnat. Those things will pass away. But it is immortals with whom we joke. It's immortals with whom we work, marry, snub, or exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors? Our choice. How we treat them. With kindness or without. There's not a person in here, not a person in here that does not deserve kindness all day long, every day. And it requires those of us that are filled with the Holy Spirit, and out there, by the way, sorry, and out there, requires us that are filled with the Holy Spirit to be those people who will display that kindness and give that gift of God to another. We get to choose. We get to choose. And that's about the last word I got on kindness. Let's pray. Father, you are kind. We are all prodigals. We were all lost. And we all wanted to come home. And you took us in. Not only took us in, but made a way that we could come home. Jesus, you died for us. Horribly. Disgustingly crucified like a criminal. We did that to you. And you still chose to love us. Your goodness, your mercy, your holiness. We are unworthy of it, but you gave it to us freely. So today, Lord, we come to you with this desire in our heart to be more full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, more complete in you, and to act with kindness that only could come from your throne, the same kindness you showed us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Give us more faith to believe that we can walk the way you have asked us to walk in your Holy Spirit. We ask for reminders constantly that we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. That greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, lying so and so. Remind us, Lord God, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, of a sound mind, and of kindness. We surrender the way we've been going, the intentions we have that are not of you, and we put them at the foot of the cross that they would be thrown away. And we put ourselves at the foot of the cross to be washed in your blood, to be made more like Jesus every day, so that on that great day when we step into your presence, you will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.